Now the word of the Lord came unto Jonah the son of Amittai, saying, Arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry against it, for their wickedness has come up before me. But Jonah rose up to flee into Tarshish from the presence of the Lord, and went down to Joppa. He found a ship going to Tarshish, so he paid the fare thereof, went down into it, to go with them unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. But the Lord sent out a great wind into the sea, and there was a mighty tempest in the sea, so that the ship was like to be broken. Then the mariners were afraid, and cried every man unto his God, and cast forth the wares that were in the ship into the sea, to lighten it of them. But Jonah was going down into the sides of the ship, and he lay and was fast asleep. So the shipmaster came to him, and said unto him, What meanest thou, O sleeper? Arise, call upon thy God, if so be that God will think upon us, that we perish not. And they said one to his fellow, Come and let us cast lots, that we may know for whose cause this evil is upon us. So they cast lots, and the lot fell upon Jonah. Look in verse 12. He said unto them, Take me up, and cast me forth into the sea. So shall the sea be calm unto you, for I know that for my sake this great tempest is upon you. Nevertheless, the men rowed hard to bring it to the land, but they could not, for the sea was wrought and was tempestuous against them. Wherefore they cried unto the Lord and said, We beseech thee, O Lord, we beseech thee, let us not perish for this man's life, and lay not upon us innocent blood, for thou, O Lord, hast done as it pleased thee. So they took up Jonah and cast him forth into the sea, and the sea ceased from her raging. Then the men feared the Lord exceedingly, and offered a sacrifice unto the Lord, and made vows. Now the Lord had prepared a great fish to swallow up Jonah, and Jonah was in the belly of the fish 3 days and three nights. And let's pray. We've been studying through the books of the Bible, and we've gone through all of the historical books, we've gone through all of the poetical books, and now we've gone through part of the prophetical books. The prophetical books are actually divided up into two different sections. The first five of those are the major prophets. The last 12 of those are the minor prophets. We've studied all five of the major prophet or major prophetical books, and now we're studying through the minor prophets. We've gone through Hosea, Amos, Joel, Obadiah, and now Jonah. And before we're finished, we would like to know the theme of every one of the minor prophets. And so you know four of them at least so far, and let's see how well you can remember them. First of those minor prophets that we study, the first minor prophet, is the prophet Hosea. The theme, the outline of Hosea was Hosea's marriage, a revelation of the heart of God, and Hosea's message, a revelation of the character of God. We saw in the book of Hosea this thing concerning backsliding, what backsliding does to God. The theme of the book is backsliding breaks what? God's heart. Okay, everybody say it with me. Backsliding breaks God's heart. That's the theme then of the book of Hosea. Remember that theme now? Anytime you read through the book of Hosea, realize what God is teaching us through that book, how backsliding breaks the heart of God, or backsliding breaks God's heart. The second minor prophet that we studied was the book of Joel. We saw the outline of that book was the day of the Lord pictured and the day of the Lord described. We saw this great thing that called the day of the Lord, which is yet to come upon the Jews or upon the world after the church is raptured from off of the earth. And we'll see this day of the Lord that will come. Now, there's a day of the Lord that was in the past. There's a day of the Lord that is yet in the future. And this pictured that day of the Lord that was yet to come. We saw that God was going to judge Israel as a nation. And God does judge nations. But even within the national judgment of God, we see a personal salvation of God. No matter what God may do to America, man can still turn to him individually. The theme of the book is national judgment and what? Personal salvation, right. I gave you the theme already, just didn't put it all together for you. National judgment and personal salvation. Say it with me. National judgment and personal salvation, all right. The third book that we studied in the Minor Prophets was the book of Amos. In Amos, we saw the key idea of the book of Amos was judgment. We see eight pronouncements, three sermons, and five visions that were given to Amos. And the theme of the book was judgment for what? Okay, abused privileges, right. Judgment for abused privileges. All right, say it with me. Judgment for abused privileges. Did everybody say it? Some of our teenagers... Okay, some of our teenagers aren't with me on this. Teenagers, you say it with me. Now, the theme of the book is judgment for abused privileges, right? Everybody, want everybody listening here, all right? You ought to know it. I just gave it to you, so it's not a hard test for you. And if you get it after I give it to you, I'll still give you an A, okay? And then after that, the last book that we studied was the book of Obadiah. And Obadiah's outline was God's vengeance upon Esau and God's victory for Jacob. The theme of the book, we see that God's people were the children of Israel. That was his chosen people. When people opposed God's people, they were opposing God. Of course, we can bring that up to today. When people oppose the children of God, they are opposing God also. And when they help the children of God, they are doing it unto the Lord also. So the theme of the book is opposition to bring Israel brings what? Opposition from God. All right? Everybody got that theme down? Obadiah's theme is opposition to Israel brings opposition from God. Okay? Let's say it together. Again, opposition to Israel brings opposition from God. All right. And then let's go to the book of Jonah now. The book of Jonah. Jonah also, we've seen that some of the prophets we've studied have been prophets to the northern tribe of Israel. Some of them have been prophets to the southern tribe of Judah. After the days of Solomon, the kingdom of Israel was divided into two separate kingdoms, the northern 10 tribes Israel, the southern 2 tribes Judah. We've seen some that have been prophets to the northern tribes of Israel and some to the southern tribes of Judah. Jonah now is a prophet to the northern tribes, or he is a prophet to Israel. So he was a prophet to the nation of Israel. Look back at 2 Kings chapter 13, and we'll give you some of the times prior to Jonah, just prior to his time of ministry. 2 Kings chapter 13. In 2 Kings chapter 13, look in verse 14. Now Elisha was fallen sick of his sickness wherever he died, and Joash the king of Israel came down unto him and wept over his face and said, O my father, my father, the chariot of Israel, the horsemen thereof. And Elisha said unto him, Take bow and arrows. And he took unto him bow and arrows. And he said to the king of Israel, Put thine hand upon the bow. And he took his hand, put his hand upon it. And Elisha put his hand upon the king's hands. And he said, Open the window eastward. And he opened it. Then Elisha said, Shoot. And he shot. And he said, The arrow of the Lord's deliverance, and the arrow of deliverance from Syria. For thou shalt smite the Syrians in Aphek, till thou hast consumed them. And he said, Take the arrows. And he took them. And he said unto the king of Israel, Smite upon the ground. And he smote thrice and stayed. And the man of God was wroth with him and said, Thou shouldest have smitten 5 or 6 times. Then hadst thou smitten Syria till thou hadst consumed it, whereas now thou shalt smite Syria but thrice. This is a story about the time of Jonah, or maybe just a little bit prior to the time that Jonah came. Jonah was actually followed the ministry of Elisha. So Elisha was a prophet to Israel, and Jonah followed the ministry of Elisha. Elisha prophesied during the latter part of his ministry, just before he died, during the reign of King Jehoash, or his name written down here is Joash. So he prophesied, or he died during the time that King Jehoash reigned. Jonah began his ministry during the time of Jehoash's reign, probably the latter part of Jehoash's reign. And probably during the beginning, look in verse chapter 14, verse 16. And Jehoash slept with his fathers and was buried in Samaria with the kings of Israel, and Jeroboam his son reigned in his stead. So as Jehoash was king over Israel during the time that Elisha died, Jonah then followed Elisha and probably prophesied during the latter part of Jehoash's reign and on into Jeroboam's reign. As a matter of fact, it was Jonah that made a prophecy concerning Jeroboam. Look in 2 Kings chapter 14, verse 25. He restored the coast of Israel from the entering of Hamath unto the sea of the plain, according to the word of the Lord of God of Israel, which he spake by the hand of his servant Jonah, the son of Amittai, the prophet, which was of Gath-hepher. So we see that Jonah was the one that prophesied that Jeroboam would be very prosperous during his time that he was king, during the time that he reigned. Matter of fact, Jeroboam restored almost all of the land that was owned by Israel during the time that David reigned, probably the most prosperous time since the time of David. And so Jeroboam was a very prosperous king. He brought back the coast of Israel almost to the exact same coast that David had when he reigned as king, one of the greatest kings that ever reigned over all of Israel. And so we see then he was the successor of the prophet Elisha, a predecessor then of the prophets of Amos and Hosea. Amos and Hosea, also prophets of Israel, followed then the ministry of Jonah. He preached in Israel during the latter part of Jehoash's reign and during the beginning of Jeroboam's reign. And it was Jonah that prophesied the restoration of the coast of Israel under Jeroboam's reign. Another thing concerning Jonah, if you look in Matthew chapter 12, Matthew chapter 12, verse 38. Then certain of the scribes and of the Pharisees answered, saying, Master, we would see a sign from thee. But he answered and said unto them, An evil and adulterous generation seeketh after a sign, and there shall no sign be given to it, but the sign of the prophet Jonas. For as Jonas was 3 days and 3 nights in the whale's belly, so shall the Son of Man be 3 days and 3 nights in the heart of the earth. The men of Nineveh shall rise up in judgment, with this generation shall condemn it, because they repented at the preaching of Jonas. And behold, a greater than Jonas is here. We see then that Jonah was a type, or a symbol, or you could put down there a picture. Jonah is a picture of an area in the life of Jesus Christ. Jesus said, just like Jonah spent 3 days and 3 nights in the belly of the whale, the Son of Man will spend 3 days and 3 nights in the belly of the earth. What that was a picture of was the death, the burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. Jesus said, I will spend 3 days and 3 nights in the earth. I'll die, I'll be buried, and on the third day I will resurrect again. And just as Jonah spent 3 days and 3 nights in the belly of the whale and came out of that whale, I will come out of the earth one day after 3 days and 3 nights in the earth. So that was a picture then of the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, or an Old Testament type of the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. Look back then at the book of Jonah. And let me give you the key phrases that are found in the book. The first of these key phrases is found in chapter 1, verse 1. It says, Now the word of the Lord came unto Jonah the son of Amittai, saying. Notice the words, the word of the Lord came. Also in chapter 3, verse 1, it says, And the word of the Lord came unto Jonah the second time. So we see again, the word of the Lord came unto Jonah. Chapter 3 says, So Jonah arose and went unto Nineveh according to the word of the Lord. One of the key phrases in the book is the phrase, the word of the Lord. The word of the Lord. A second one of the key phrases, if you look in chapter 4, verse 4, it says, Then said the Lord. Chapter 4, verse 10. Then said the Lord. So that's the second of the key phrases. First of all, the word of the Lord. Secondly, then said the Lord. Then the third key phrase in chapter 4, verse 9, and God said. That's the third phrase I want you to have down, and God said. So we see in the book of Jonah, the word of the Lord. We also see, then said the Lord, and we also see, God said. Now most of us know the story about Jonah. By the way, one of the reasons that Jonah is one of the most criticized books in all the Bible is because of the type that it is. What is a type of? Probably the three most criticized books in the Bible are Genesis, because of the creation. Secondly, and by the way, that's the first messianic prophecy also, first prophecy concerning Jesus Christ because of the sin of man. Then we see Jonah. If there's one book in the Bible that is criticized by liberal theologians and by agnostics and atheists, it's the book of Jonah. They say, well, how in the world could a fish swallow a man? How could that happen? By the way, this is not the only time in history that's ever happened. There are reports. There's a report back in the late 1800s during the whaling days. A man was in a small ship. They harpooned a whale, and the whale's tail hit that little boat and tipped it over. All the men fell into the water. The others were rescued, but one of the men disappeared. They couldn't figure out where the man was. They finally got the whale. They brought it up after all day, after harpooning that whale, and finally got it up to the ship. They began cutting on it. So all that day that man was missing, as they were bringing that whale up, all the next day they cut on that whale and cut on that whale and cut on that whale as they're getting all the stuff off the whale. Finally, on the next day, they got down into the stomach of the whale. As they were pulling the stomach out, they felt life inside of there. They opened up that stomach and found a man laying inside the stomach of that whale. They brought him out. He was all white all over from the gastric juices of that whale. They brought him out. They laid him down. He was in shock. He was scared to death. And they laid him out and took him about 2 weeks before he finally recovered from being inside of that whale. He tells a story. The old man, in his own words later on, said this. He said, "I was cast into the water, and all of a sudden, the next thing I know, I was sucked in, and into a very intense heat," he said. "Felt a very intense heat around me, and it was just pitch black, not a bit of light." He said, "I began to reach around me, and all I could feel was the inside of this whale," and he realized what had happened to him. He said, after he realized that he'd been swallowed by this whale, he just went into shock right then. I mean, scared him almost to death. He lived through it, but he was so scared as a result of it. The doctor who examined him said the reason he was in shock was because of his fright. He said he could live there, as far as the air supply was concerned, could live there as long as he wanted to, as long as he enjoyed it in there without shock. He wouldn't have died of suffocation anyway. He would have died of being scared to death of being eaten up by gastric juices within the inside of a fish, I guess. And so he was inside of that whale and lived for at least 2 days, maybe 3 days inside of that fish, and before they finally cut him out of there. Took him a while to recover, but he did recover, and came out, his whole body was white all over, eaten up or just bleached by the gastric juices of that whale while he was inside of there. So, Ken, by the way, there's other stories, same accounts just like that, of men that have been swallowed by whales and have come out to tell about it. There's plenty of stories about those that have been swallowed by whales that haven't told about it, but there's some stories, those that have been swallowed by whales and have come back to tell about it also. And so it's the most criticized, one of the most criticized books in all the Bible. People say, well, how could it be? Well, it doesn't matter how it could be. If God's involved, anything's possible with God. Even if there weren't any scientific facts concerning it, even if there weren't stories that really had happened, believe it anyway because God said it. By the way, Jesus said that Jonah was swallowed by a whale, and if Jesus said it, it's good enough anyway. And the Word of God talks about Jonah and describes Jonah being swallowed by a whale. It's true. Why do people criticize that story? Because it's a type of the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. If there's one thing that Satan hates, it's the resurrection of Jesus. Not his death. Anybody can die. It's his resurrection that Satan hates. And by the way, that's part of the plan of salvation. You don't believe in the resurrection of Jesus Christ, you can't be saved. I also believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Without the resurrection of Jesus Christ, you can't go to heaven. Without believing in the resurrection of Jesus Christ, you can't go to heaven. And you can't be saved without the resurrection of Jesus Christ. The book of Jonah is a very important type in the Bible of the resurrection of Jesus. So we see the key phrases are, the word of the Lord, then said the Lord, and God said. Notice, Jonah, when he went through his troubles, was not because he didn't know the word of the Lord. It was not because he had not heard the word of the Lord. Say, well, those folks, they've never heard the word of the Lord. Jonah had heard the word of the Lord. His troubles did not come because he didn't know the Bible. His troubles did not come because he had not heard the Bible. Why did his troubles come? His troubles came because he did not obey what he had heard. That was the difference right there in Jonah's life. Say, why was Jonah called a backslidden preacher? Because he didn't read the Bible? No, it wasn't because he didn't read the Bible. He read it. Was it because he didn't hear the preaching of the Word of God? No, it wasn't because he didn't hear the preaching. You find over and over and over, the Bible says, and God said, or he heard the word of the Lord. The word of the Lord came to Jonah. It wasn't because he didn't go to church. He didn't get backslidden. Because he hadn't heard the word of the Lord, because he didn't know the Bible. He was backslidden because he didn't do what the Bible said. And this is a warning, by the way, to every person. You come to the Grace Bible Baptist Church, you're going to hear the word of the Lord. I'll guarantee you that. You step foot in this place and you're going to hear, thus saith the word of the Lord. Thus saith God. And God said. And you're going to hear it from this pulpit right here, what God said. You can't blame God one day when you get to him and say, but God, I didn't know. If you came to this church, you don't have any excuses about knowing. Because we're going to preach the Bible around here. The only thing that's going to happen to those around here, you're either going to obey what you hear or you're going to disobey what you hear. Now, we can see in Jonah what happens when you disobey what you hear. That's one of the great lessons we can learn from the life of Jonah. Jonah's problem was not a result of not hearing God's word, but a result of not obeying God's word. One of the great lessons that we can learn from the book of Jonah is this. What happens when a Christian backslides? By the way, that's all backsliding is not obeying God's word. That's what backsliding is, not doing what God has said. The Christian life is a life of growth. How do we grow? We grow by the milk of the word, then by the meat of the word. We grow by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. That's how we grow. Therefore, when we don't obey God's word, we don't grow. You can't grow without obeying the word of God. You can't do it. When you quit obeying the word of God, you quit growing, and not growing is backsliding in the Christian life. You can't stay the same. You're either growing or you're going backwards. If you're staying the same, you're backsliding, because a Christian life is growth. So not obeying the word of God is backsliding. And let's look then at what happens in the life of a person when they disobey God's word or when a Christian backslides. First of all, here's the outline of the book. The first chapter tells us Jonah fleeing from God. Jonah chapter 1. We read the story there. Look in verse 1 again. It says, now the word of the Lord came unto Jonah, the son of Amittai, saying, arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry against it, for their wickedness has come up before me. Okay, the word of the Lord came to Jonah. And here's what the word of the Lord said. Jonah, go to Nineveh. Now that's the particular thing that God was working on his life at that time right then. Now God may come to you, and God may tell you something. The word of the Lord may come to you. And the word of the Lord may say, read your Bible. The word of the Lord may come to you, and the word of the Lord may say, pray. The word of the Lord may come to you, and the word of the Lord may say, go soul winning. The word of the Lord may come to you, and the word of the Lord may say, dress modestly. The word of the Lord may come to you, and the word of the Lord may say, attend church faithfully. The word of the Lord may come to you, and the word of the Lord may say, and there's many things that God tells us in his word. What are you doing with what God said? You have your choice. God's not going to make you go to church. He can make you sometimes wish you had, but he won't make you go. God's not going to make you go soul winning. God can do some things in your life where you wish you would have, but he's not going to make you go. God's not going to make you read your Bible. God can do some things in your life where you wish you would have, but he's not going to make you do it. But you can obey or you can disobey. Now here's what Jonah did. God came to him and said, Jonah, go to Nineveh. Could have just gone to Jonah and said, Jonah, read your Bible. Could have come to Jonah and said, Jonah, pray. Could have come to Jonah and said, Jonah, go to church faithfully. He could have come to Jonah and said, Jonah, go soul winning. By the way, he did tell him, go to Nineveh. Why? To preach to that great city. Get some folks saved. His message to Jonah was, Jonah, you need to be a soul winner. You need to go where I tell you to go and tell them about Jesus. Now, Jesus' blood cleanses us from all sin. And so, Jonah was to go. What did he do? Verse 3, but Jonah rose up to flee unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. God said, Jonah, I want you to go to Nineveh. Nineveh is up in the east, northeast. And Jonah said, I'm going as far as Nineveh from Nineveh as I can get. And he jumped on a boat and headed for Tarshish, which is the far west. Tarshish probably would be our modern-day Spain, or possibly even England, one of those nations over in that area, though. So Nineveh was to the east, and Tarshish was to the west. And God said, Jonah, you go to Nineveh. And Jonah said, I'm going to get as far away from Nineveh as I can get. He jumped in a boat and started headed for Tarshish, heading for Spain, and or heading for England, one of the nations out in the west, or in modern-day England or Spain. And so he disobeyed. God told Jonah to go to Nineveh, but Jonah fled toward Tarshish. Notice what happens then in the following verses when Jonah disobeyed God. First of all, and the Bible says, and went down to Joppa. First thing that happens when a person disobeys is they go down. Every time, they go down. You'll never see a Christian that disobeys God growing and doing more for God. You'll never see it. Every time a Christian disobeys God, they go down. They start doing less than they did before they disobeyed. Every time you mark it down, every time in the world, when a person disobeys God, they go down every time. They disobey God, they start becoming critical. They disobey God, they start, they quit their soul winning. They disobey God, they give up their Sunday school class. They disobey God, they start missing church. They disobey God, and they go down and down and down and down and down. And by the way, there's no stopping. Once a person starts sliding, it's hard to stop the slide. Just like going down a hill on ice. You can start going down, but the farther you go down, the harder it is to stop. The faster you go, and the more you go down, the harder it is to kick those heels in and stop and head back up. And by the way, it's a hard climb back up again. Once you start sliding, it's a lot easier climbing than sliding, stopping, and start climbing back up to where you were again. Better off just keep going for the Lord. Just keep obeying Him. Jonah went down. Second thing that happened, verse 3. And he found a ship going to Tarshish, so he paid the fare thereof. The second thing that happens, by the way, Jonah paid the fare. He was going down and he paid for going down too, so he paid the fare for going down. Mark this down. There's a payment for sin. You sin, there's a price to be paid. Every sin has its price. Every sin has its fare. And you begin by turning from God, and you begin backsliding, and you begin disobeying God, and you'll start sliding, and you'll pay the price. You look at through the Bible. You look at every man in the Bible who sinned. Look at them all. You look at Saul. Saul, when Saul started out as king, was one of the great men in all of Israel. A humble, probably not more a more humble man in all the Word of God than the man Saul. You study his life. Tremendous man of God. Very humble man. But he started sinning. Pride came in. Most humble man in the Bible became proud. He started sinning, and pretty soon his kingdom was taken away from him. And God said, Saul, at one time I could have used you. Now because of sin, your usefulness is over. I'm going to rend from you the kingdom and even take your life. Check it out. You don't find anybody in the Bible that sinned that didn't pay the price for their sin. Look at David. David sinned. And David lost his family because of his sin. By the way, you sin, you're going to pay the price. You'll pay the price maybe in your children. You'll pay the price maybe in your loved ones. You'll pay the price maybe in your life like Saul did, or maybe in the life of your loved ones like David did. But there's a price to be paid for sin. Look at Solomon. Solomon had the kingdom taken from him and divided. Why? Because of sin. Every time in the Bible, there's a price to be paid for sin. You can go ahead and run from God if you want to, or you can obey God. You can disobey God, or you can obey God. But you better mark it down. There's a price to be paid. You'll pay the fare for the sin. Notice after he paid the fare, thereof he went down into it. He didn't quit going down after he paid the price either. He went down, he paid for his sin, and kept going down. Look down in verse 5. But Jonah was going down into the size of the ship. Just keep going down, keep going down, keep going down. Sin will always lead you down. There's always a price to be paid for a sin. He went down, paid the price for a sin, and kept going down. And by the way, you'll keep going down until you get to the place of chapter 2 where he repented of his sin. That's the only way back is repentance. No other way. He kept going down and down and down. Thirdly, verse 4. But the Lord sent out a great wind into the sea. There was a mighty tempest in the sea, so that the ship was to be broken. Thirdly, the storm came. You go into sin and you mark it down, there's going to be storms. Mark it down. You may as well, if you're going to sin, you better hang on, because there's going to storms come into your life. And you just better ready to fasten your seatbelt. If you disobey God, just fasten your seatbelt, because it's coming. You'll go down, You'll pay for your sin, and storms will come into your life every time. Fourthly, verse 15. So they took Jonah and cast him into the sea. The sea ceased from her raging. Fourth thing that happened, they took him and he cast him into the sea. He was smack right dab in the middle of that storm. And fifthly, verse 17, he was swallowed by a whale. When a person sins or a person backslides or a person disobeys God, that's all backsliding is disobedience to God. When a person disobeys God. So, preacher, I obey God in just about everything he's told me to do. What was the last thing God told you to do you didn't do? What is that one thing that you're holding on to? What's that one thing that God told you to do and you've kind of just put it off, and the Holy Spirit conviction been in your heart and you just kind of hold it off and say, no, God's not really saying that to me. I've gotten along fine so far without doing that. I can get along fine. And you've pushed it aside, but the Holy Spirit of God brings it back again. And you put it off to the side and say, someday I'll do that. But I've got to get these things taken care of first of all. The Holy Spirit of God brings it back again. You say, now God, you know I'm going to someday. You know I love you, Lord. And you know I'm going to obey you someday. And the Holy Spirit of God keeps bringing it back. What's that one thing in your life that the Holy Spirit of God keeps bringing it back? And you keep pushing it aside. And you keep hiding the conviction. And the Holy Spirit of God keeps speaking to you about it. What is that one thing? By the way, it's always one thing. Until you get that right, it won't be anything else God's going to tell you. Until you do what the last thing that God told you to do. Just do that. What's the thing that God keeps convicting you about? What's the thing you keep kind of push off to the side? Look out. Only took one thing in Jonah's life. Just go to Nineveh, Jonah. And Jonah said, God, that's one thing I'm not going to do. I'll preach here in Israel, God, but don't ask me to go to Nineveh. I'll serve you here, Lord, but don't ask me to go to Nineveh. I'll talk to a few folks here, but don't ask me to go to Nineveh. I've done everything else you told me to do, God. Why is this one thing so important to you? Took one thing of disobedience, and he went down and went down and went down. What did Jonah have to do to get back again? Look in chapter 2. Second thing is praying to God. By the way, that's a good place to pray is when you're in the belly of a whale. And that's what it takes some of us to start praying, is to get stuck in the belly of a whale. And the only way we're going to get out is if God gets us out. Don't wait to get in the belly of the whale to start praying. You better start praying right away. Start depending on God right away. And confess your sins. Quicker you confess your sins, quicker you can slow down that slide that goes down and down and down. Jonah praying to God. Jonah had not heard the word of the Lord since when? Since he disobeyed. Last time you see the word of the Lord came to Jonah and said, Jonah, go to Nineveh. You don't see God speaking again till Jonah chapter 3, verse 1. When was that? Following his prayer of repentance. How sad it is, the number of Christians that sit in churches week after week without Bible-believing, Bible-preaching churches without God ever speaking to them. How sad that is. How sad it is to sit in a church service and to never know again the convicting of the Holy Spirit of God. How sad. How sad it is to sit in a church service and to never get a new nugget from the Word of God, never be taught anything from the Word of God, never to get anything new. Just put your time in, get your snooze, get your sleep in, go out of the church, never hearing from God again. How sad that is. And yet it happens over and over and over again. Why? They didn't repent. Until you come to repentance, you'll never hear from the Lord again. Just be the same old thing, week after week, same old thing, never hearing from God, same old thing, Holy Spirit of God never speak to you again, same old thing, no conviction. What a sad life to be set on the shelf when all it takes is repentance. Say, God, I don't want to be used again. God, I'll go to Nineveh. God looked down at Jonah and said, okay, Jonah, You've repented now. Now remember what I told you to do? Go to Nineveh. First of all, he had to repent. And after he repented, then he started hearing the word of the Lord again. Don't ever get to the place where you just come to church and it never changes your life. You never hear from God. Your life never changes. Don't ever get to that place. Preacher, how do you keep from getting to that place? Never disobey God the first time. God says you do, tells you to do something, just do it. God always knows what's best. Say, but that's too hard to do. God will give you the grace to do it. If God said do it, then God will give you the grace to do it. But nobody else is doing it. Well, God told you to do it, you better get doing it. God speaks to people individually. If God's come to you and said, here's what I want you to do, everybody's at a different level of maturity in the Christian life. Everybody's at a different level. And all you got to be doing is doing what the Holy Spirit of God has told you to do. And just do that. And keep doing what God has told you to do. And say, God, what's next? And God will lead you one step at a time when you listen to Him. When you refuse to obey, God refuses to guide. When you refuse to obey, God refuses to guide. The word of the Lord came to Jonah and said, Jonah, go to Nineveh. Jonah says, I'm not going to Nineveh. I'll do anything else you ask me to do, God, but that's one thing I'm not going to do. And now Jonah goes through the next few days of his life without hearing from God. And some people go through weeks and months and years of their life without hearing from God. You want to take the next step? Do what the last step was. When you obey God in the last step, God will guide you in the next step. It's how so many Christians get backslidden. God quit speaking to them. And it just becomes a humdrum of Christianity. Go through the motions. You can only go through the motions so long. Everybody, all of us need to hear from God. Every one of us. Until you do what God told you to do, you'll not hear from him again. What did he have to do? Look at chapter 3, speaking for God. In order for him to get right with God, what did he have to do? Had to go to Nineveh, didn't he? God didn't say, okay, you flunked that test, Jonah, here's what we're going to do. We're going to try a different one here. No, God said, you're going to take this one about Nineveh over again. You're going to Nineveh. Before I ever talk to you again, you're going to Nineveh. You got to begin where you left off. The farther you get from that spot where you left off, the harder it's going to get back to that place where you left off. But before you can ever grow again, you only have to begin where you left off. Where did Jonah leave off? Going to Nineveh. Where did Jonah start up again? Going to Nineveh. Don't you think that you can bypass anything that God's told you to do? Can't do it. I don't care what it is. I don't know what God's told you to do, but you can't bypass it. I'll tell you right now. And you'll stay in limbo. You'll backslide until you get back to that one place right there. When God spoke to you, God pricked your heart about something, just do it. Obey God. Christian life so much happier obeying Him. Goes so much better obeying Him. It's so much more peace knowing that you're doing what He's told you to do. Just obey God. If every Christian could get this one lesson right here down, this one lesson, how much heartache it would save, how much joy it would bring, how much peace it would bring, learning to obey God, everything that God told us to do, obey Him. And then fourthly, learning from God. What was the whole purpose of it? Look at verse 11 of chapter 4. Here's God's whole purpose. And should not I spare Nineveh, that great city wherein are more than 60,000 persons that cannot discern between their right hand and their left, and also much cattle? What's God's purpose? Getting folks saved. So you don't understand. Nineveh, man, they're ungodly. Those people up in Nineveh, they're so wicked that when they would come through and conquer a town, they would take the men and they'd lay them down upon the ground and tie down their hands and tie down their feet, and they'd take a knife and they'd start flaying the skin off of that person. They'd take the skin and make lampshades from human skin, as that person would writhe in pain upon the ground as their skin was torn or cut off of them, and they'd lay there open to the elements until they died. I'm not going to go talk to those people. They'll take a man and take a stake and stick it up through underneath his rib cage and let him just hang there writhing in pain until he dies. I'm not going to go talk to those people. And they would do most inhuman things, things I can't even mention. I said, I wish you wouldn't have mentioned the ones you did. Ungodly things they do to those. So I'm not going to go talk to those people. Well, if God says go, you go. What's God's heart? Getting people saved. That's the heart of God right there. Getting people saved. Don't you think it pleases God then, those that will say, God, what you want most is getting folks saved. Don't you think it pleases God when you go out and do your best to see folks saved? Don't you think that pleases God? That's the heart of God right there. That's what God, that's the reason he wanted him to go to Nineveh. I want those people saved, Jonah. Jonah went. Jonah preached. By the way, don't blame Jonah too much. I think Jonah was probably one of the most patriotic men that ever lived. Say, why did Jonah not want to go preach to Nineveh? Because they're wicked people? No. So he knew that if God spared Nineveh, that Nineveh or Assyria was the nation that was going to come upon Israel within 30 years, and destroy Israel and take them off into captivity. What he was saying is, I want God to destroy Assyria so Israel can be spared. And God said, you go talk to Nineveh. And Nineveh was spared, and Assyria came down upon Israel. And within 30 years after Jonah preached to Nineveh, Israel fell to Assyrian captivity. Jonah disobeyed God. And Jonah went down. He paid the fare, kept going down, went through storms, cast into the sea, swallowed by a whale. Finally, he repented. And when he repented, the word of the Lord came again the second time to Jonah. I'm glad that verse right there is in the Bible, aren't you? I'm glad God comes back again the second time when we've been disobedient. We've rebelled against what God has told us to do. And the word of the Lord comes back again after we've repented. All we got to do is come to God and say, God, I've disobeyed you. I repent of my sin. And the word of the Lord came back again the second time. Jonah had the second chance to go back to Nineveh. Preached, people got saved. We see the heart of God and desire of God to see people saved. The theme of the book is this. Disobeying God's word has serious consequences. Disobeying God's word has serious consequences. Every one of us have the choice. You can obey or you can disobey. But always remember this. Disobedience always has serious consequences. And let's pray. Our dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for this story in the Bible about this man who disobeyed in his backsliding. We can learn as an example of what we must go through if we disobey you. Help every one of us to search our own hearts today. Find that thing that you've told us to do and be busy about the work of doing it. Help none of us to have to go through those painful consequences of backsliding and disobedience to your word. Speak to us, we pray. Help us to love you and to live for you. In Jesus' name, amen.